I want to preach tonight on the simple subject, what's the point in preaching the gospel? What's the point in preaching the gospel? You know, we live in a world of fads and fashions. We live in a world that's concerned with what's the latest fashion? And we'll go out and we'll buy it. What's the hottest trend that we see on social media? What's the new fad going around? And we want to get involved. We want to get stuck in. Things come into fashion and they're there for a few years. You might see people wearing something or doing something or going somewhere. And then as quickly as it came, that thing will go out of fashion. And something else will take its place. One thing might be in favor this month and yet out of favor next month. And certainly from a marketing perspective, millions of pounds are spent trying to ascertain what's the next market trend. And we'll make sure we have products lined up to meet those ends and to meet the latest trends and fashions. So we're a world that's very fashion conscious, very trend savvy. And yet, sadly, in our little country here in Northern Ireland, one thing that I believe has fallen out of favor, one thing that I believe is now not trendy, unfashionable, a relic of yesteryear, is the straightforward, up and down, clear-cut preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm still young, but I know that years ago in this country, if you were to travel across this land, you would have found churches open on a Sunday night. And there they would have been preaching the gospel of the saving mercy of Christ. Not just Free Presbyterian churches, other churches as well. It would have been as you went through a town on a Sunday, maybe you saw a preacher on the side of the road and there he was with his congregation preaching the gospel and seeking to reach the lost with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. It used to be as you drove down the street, you'd see invitations for gospel missions. Or you'd see tents erected and you'd see whole towns and communities coming in to hear the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet nowadays, in our hypersensitive snowflake society, the preaching of the gospel has become unfashionable. It's become a sour taste in the mouths of many people. Why is that the case? Well, we could say really there's two reasons why that's the case. Firstly, it's because there's no appetite from the people. The world has no appetite for the gospel. We see that. We plan a mission. We have a gospel service. And the unsaved don't come in droves. Used to be if you had a mission, the place would be packed out. Or on a Sunday night, the place was filled with those who were lost, strangers, visitors. You didn't know who they were, but you knew they were unsaved. And there they were seeking an answer for all life's questions. And yet today we don't see that. People don't have that same spiritual appetite that once they did. On a Sunday night, there's empty seats and empty pews. People don't want to hear they're a lost sinner. People don't want to hear about their faults or their needs. They want their ears tickled. They want to hear a nice little sermon, not anything that's going to challenge them. So there's no appetite from the world. But a second answer to that question, why is the gospel not being preached, is that sadly there's not an appetite in many preachers. Many preachers, I believe, are standing in their pulpits on Sunday evenings and they're looking down and they see a berry on every head and a Bible in every hand and they say, well, what's the point? Sure, everyone here saved. Sure, I'll just preach another message to believers and I'll leave off the preaching of the gospel altogether. And so what we find in many churches today is that the preaching of the gospel is either this little 5-minute appeal at the end of a service, a service that's really been a theological lecture, a service that's really been nothing more than exposition to the people of God with a little 5-minute appeal, a little 5-minute clip on, a little adage, a little suffix, really an afterthought. Or the gospel's abandoned altogether. And there is no evening service. And there is no clear gospel preaching. You know, maybe this is something that you have wondered about before in your life. Maybe you've come to church and you think, well, I'm looking around, but can't see any unsaved in. Is there much point in preaching the gospel? What's the point in giving that appeal to come to the Lord and to be saved if everyone here is saved? What's the point? in preaching the gospel. Well, my friend, one thing is clear. The true church of Jesus Christ must never give ground on the simple, clear proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord commissioned us to go into all the world and not tell them to be kind to one another, not tell them to be gentle to one another, not to promote world peace or a political agenda. We were told to go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. That's called the Great Commission. And to know why the Lord has commissioned us to preach the gospel and to not give ground on that, we have to know what the gospel is. Now, in our vernacular, in our nomenclature, the way in which we speak to each other, we use the term gospel to speak of something that's true in the absolute sense. You might be telling someone a story and you'll say, that's gospel truth. Or is that the gospel? And you use that term to say, well, is that definitely something that's 100% accurate? That's gospel, you might say, if you're telling someone a story. And in a day filled with lies and fake news, media hype, the gospel, that term gospel, is synonymous with something that's absolutely true, something that is not erroneous, something with absolute certainty and hope for our souls. You know, the gospel in a literal sense means, and I said this morning, good news. And the gospel we preach is the best news of all. That there is a way to get to heaven. There's a way to be at peace with God. There's a way to know great, true, lasting, eternal satisfaction in your heart and in your soul. And it's by knowing Christ as your Savior. The gospel is knowing that you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to suffer an eternity of God's wrath forever and ever. Because there is a Savior. There's one who paid that price for you. And by redeeming and justifying grace, He can save you tonight. Isn't that good news? Isn't that a wonderful gospel to preach? Why would you ever not want to tell people that? Why would you ever want to give ground on this clear proclamation that you can be saved because a Christ died for you? What's the point in preaching the gospel? Paul could have well asked himself that with all of the afflictions he faced. And yet, in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, here Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Friend, tonight I want to make a case for the preaching of the gospel, for the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. Friends outside of Christ tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you've never asked the Lord into your heart, you've never been saved, what you need most of all is the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of saving mercy. And if you're here as a child of God, my friend, what you need is the gospel, because nothing will warm your heart or stir you to service or constrain you to do a work for Christ than seeing your Savior dying there for you. Oh, what we need is the gospel. And I trust the Lord will stir us as we think about the preaching of the gospel. What's the point in preaching the gospel? Well, firstly, our text tells us because we're not ashamed of it. The point in preaching the gospel is because we are not ashamed of it. It's the first thing Paul says, verse 16. Why do we preach the gospel? Because I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul says. Now, if anybody had reason to be ashamed of the gospel, it was the Apostle Paul. Bear in mind that as he pens this epistle, there he is in that jail cell in Rome. He's awaiting execution. There he is in that cold, dark, dank, dismal prison cell, surrounded by ungodly men, perhaps taunted by the guards. He's scourged, he's mocked, he is made fun of there in that prison cell. There he is, so downcast, separated from family, separated from friends. If there was anybody who was going to abandon preaching the gospel, it was Paul. Because preaching the gospel had led him into great suffering. And he could say, look, I'm ashamed of that message because it's leading me into harm and into dismay. And yet Paul, even through all that hurt, could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And my friend, as a church, we are not ashamed of the message we preach. We are not ashamed of Christ. We make no apology for preaching the simple message that you need to be saved. And it's only Christ Jesus can save you. We're not ashamed or afraid or in any way backward about preaching the fact that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, my friend, in Christ alone. It's not a church that'll get you to heaven. Not Muhammad, not the Roman Catholic Church, not even the Free Presbyterian Church is going to get you to heaven. It's Christ and Him crucified. It's the blood of God's own Son will wash and save your soul. And in a society that's so diverse, in a society that's so new and sensitive and intolerant, my friend, we need to stick to the preaching of the old-fashioned cross. Even when men revile it, even when people despise it, we are not ashamed of that message. I believe the reason why the gospel isn't preached today the way perhaps it once was is because people are ashamed of it. Churches today, we know this, it's the case of every church. They're not as full, perhaps, as once they were. And churches, in order to combat this, they want to be what we call seeker-friendly. In other words, they want to be so inoffensive, so nice and genteel that when people come in, perhaps from the area visitors, they're not in any way challenged. They're not in any way put off by anything. They want to be all nice and friendly. And so the preaching's inoffensive. The preaching doesn't point out faults. They speak about the usual topics of peace and world peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness. And these are all good subjects in and of themselves. But they leave off Christ. They leave off the gospel. What they want to do is make everybody feel good. Give them that experience of emotion, that surge of emotion, and bring them back again the next week. And so to stand in a pulpit and preach, you're a lost sinner going to hell, that's unpalatable. Don't preach that. They'll never come back. Just give them something nice. Give them something easy. And they'll come back again the next week. Because they're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, my friends, we are not ashamed of the gospel. And we ought never to be ashamed of the gospel. And, you know, I've come from Bangor tonight and I'm not here to give you some theological lecture. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to tell you folks here tonight in Coleraine, you're a sinner on the road to hell and you need a savior. You need someone to save you, to wash your heart from sin, because your sin is dragging you to hell. The Bible tells us, Romans 3:23, that each and every one of us are sinners born in sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the gospel's good news, but we can't usually have good news without a little bit of bad news. And in the case of the gospel, it's very bad news. Because our sin, though we might view it lightly, it's not lightly viewed by God. Though we might view it as not a major thing, it's a major thing to Him. And God's word says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin offends God. God can't even look upon sin. And if we die, if we pass from this scene of time with sin in our hearts, and we have not Christ as our Savior, then my friend, we'll spend an eternity in the blackness and fires of hell forever. Do you realize that tonight, friend? Do you realize, soul outside of Christ, that you're on the road to a lost eternity? Do you realize why I'm not ashamed to preach that? Because you need to hear it. You need to comprehend that. You need to grasp that salient truth that left to myself, I'm going to hell. I need Christ. I need Jesus. Oh, how wretched you are in the face of God. I've no doubt you might be a nice person. I've no doubt me and you might get on the very best. But my friend, the reality is you're a sinner before God. Doesn't matter what I think of you. It's what Christ thinks of you. My friend, God's word tells us we're all sinners before Him. You know, if you saw somebody when you were leaving tonight, if you saw a little child playing in the road and a big car coming their way, you'd let a shout out of you. You wouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed to shout up that word of caution, get out of the way, there's danger coming. You wouldn't be embarrassed or behind the door about warning that child of the impending doom that awaits him. And so likewise, we are not ashamed tonight to raise our voices and to say, dear sinner, sin is not fun, sin is not fulfilling, sin is not in any way something to be laughed at. Sin is fatal. We make no apology for presenting that message, that unless you come to Jesus Christ, not a church, not a minister, not a session or a congregation, but unless you come to Jesus Christ, you are not and cannot be saved. No matter the flack we may receive for preaching such a message, we do not back down. No matter what you think of that message, whether you like it or not, it's a message we all need to hear. We're sinners bound for certain doom unless we take Christ as our Savior. And we are not ashamed to preach that message. And so what's the point in preaching the gospel? Because we're not ashamed of it. But also what I want you to find here in this text, and you might have noticed it already, is that we can't preach Christ without it. That's why we have to preach the gospel. Because look at what it says in verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's not just the gospel, is it? It's not some arbitrary take it or leave it issue. It's not some secondary issue that you can choose whether or whether not to bring to a congregation. Paul gives it that further qualification. This is the gospel of Christ. Now, that's in a genitive sense. Now, you make that possessive. This is Christ's gospel. That's saying the same thing. The gospel of Christ is the same as saying Christ's gospel. This is Christ's gospel. And as a church, we are not interested in politics. As a church, we are not interested in psychology. As a church, we're not interested in preaching about philosophy or giving you the opinion of a preacher or the opinion of a man. We're not interested in telling you how to live your best life or how to be good or how to be, as it were, good living. We're only interested in preaching one subject. We're only interested in presenting one salient truth, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, midweek by midweek, children's meeting by children's meeting, youth fellowship by youth fellowship, and that is Christ and Him crucified. That's all we ever want to preach. That's all we ever must preach. God forbid that we should preach anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Paul makes it clear, we can't preach Christ without the gospel, because this is Christ's gospel. And if you want to preach Christ, you want to be true to the Lord, you want to be preaching the Word of God, you need to preach Christ's gospel. You know, Colleen, I was praying for you this week. I know at the moment you're vacant and you're looking for a minister, you're looking for a pastor to come and to guide and to shepherd this congregation. You know, people in a time of vacancy have their own criteria of what they want. Some want a young man with plenty of energy. And you might say, what this church needs is a young man who's going to get in and work among young people. Other people say, well, I think what we need is an older man with a wee bit more experience and a wee bit more wisdom about him. Some say we want a man who's missionary-minded. Some say we want a theological lecturer. And everybody has their opinion of what they need in a pastor, in a man. Well, Corrine, I'm only in the ministry a couple of years. Who am I to be telling you what you need? I don't know the needs of this congregation in a specific sense, but I know what you need generally. And as you seek the Lord for a man to come to this congregation to preach, here's what you need. You need a man who's going to preach the gospel. That's what this church needs. Someone who is going to present the gospel week by week. Someone who's going to preach Christ crucified. Someone who's going to preach that salvation is by the blood of Christ alone, because you can't preach Christ without the gospel. And as you pray for a man to come and to shepherd this congregation, you look for a gospel preaching man. You look for a man who can present Christ in all of his saving fullness. Because my friend, there is no other message. There is no other hope for sinners. That very term Christ that Paul uses here, it's synonymous with that Old Testament term Messiah. It means the one chosen by God to fulfill a specific task. Jesus was the one chosen of God to perform the task. What was the task, you ask? Well, his task was to provide salvation for those that were lost. The task was to bring those once destined for hell unto glory, unto heaven, to be with Christ forevermore. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the great eternal mission of the Trinity was to send forth Christ into this sin-cursed and wretched world, that he might live a perfect life, that he might die an atoning death, and that by his death and through his blood, many sons might be cleansed from sin and brought to glory. Christ was not anointed or chosen or sent just to be a good example of how to live, or to show an example of how to be a Christian. He wasn't anointed just to be a teacher or a mere preacher. Christ was anointed to be the only Savior of man. And my friend, he is. He did that through the shedding of his blood. And to remove the preaching of that, to remove the preaching of the gospel from the ministry and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, just because some people don't like it, is a grave injustice to the eternal purpose of God. And you'll see why I'm saying you can't preach Christ without the gospel, because we can't preach a Christ that has no blood. Can't preach a bloodless Christ. We can't preach a crossless Christ. We can't worship Christ without Calvary. And so the message we preach must be the gospel of Christ. My friend, tonight, do you realize what Christ did for you? That there on Golgotha's hill, he bore the nails for you through his palms. He suffered your punishment. He bore your hell. And the wonderful thing of the gospel is that if you come to him, his blood can wash you whiter than the snow. His blood can save you. His blood can justify you. He will justify you freely by his grace. There's an old hymn that says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And praise God, Christ shed his precious, sinless, impeccable blood that you and I might be saved from sin. The bad news is that we're sinners bound for hell. The good news is Christ has paid our hell at Calvary. And tonight, my friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus can save you tonight. If you would but just come to him and cry, Lord, save me. Why do we preach the gospel? Because we're not ashamed of it. Because we can't preach Christ without it. Notice also, thirdly, because it is the power of God. Do you notice that Paul writes there, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. There is no message under heaven that is as powerful, as life-changing, as moving, as impactful as the message of the gospel of Christ. This old world of ours has been changed, molded, transformed, turned upside down time and time again through the preaching of the gospel. Not through social reform, not through revolutions, not through renaissances. This world has been changed through Christ and the preaching of his word. Do we not think of the book of Acts when they reported of Peter and John that these men have turned the world upside down? That's how it felt. The whole world's been changed. Why? Because here's two men preaching the gospel. Here's two men preaching Christ. You know, many people want to see the power of God at work today. You know, where I used to work, I was in a wee butcher shop, and out the window there would have been a little stall set up down the street, and they would have said, Healing Ministries. And they would have brought people, and people wanted to see the power of God at work. And so someone with a bad leg or someone with some sort of ailment would have gone to the little hut, and they would have tried to lay hands on them and heal them and pray over them and try and see the power of God draw near to that person who was sick and infirmed. People want to see the power of God at work today. Maybe you do. You want to see some mighty work of God. What you need is not a magic trick, not a smoke and mirror show. What you need is not some miracle to be performed to see his power. What we need to see the power of God at work in our land and our church today is to preach the gospel. Because here Paul makes it clear that God's power is manifested and seen most clearly when the gospel is preached to the hearts of sinners. Because tied to the message of the gospel of Christ is the power of God. Now that word power, it's a very interesting word. In the Greek, it's the word dynamos or dynamos. It's the word from which we get the term dynamite. Now, what's dynamite? It's something small, something mean, something unremarkable, something ordinary, and yet something behind which there lies immense power, explosive power, impacting power. And so too is the gospel of Christ. Oh, it might seem a small thing to you tonight. It might seem like it's nothing. Sure, just a preacher in a pulpit talking about Jesus. But my friend, the gospel we preach has a power behind it to change lives, to change eternities for the Master's good. Oh yes, the gospel message is a powerful message, imbued with a supernatural power, a power to break stony hearts, a power to soften stiff necks, a power to change lives forever. And in every epoch of human history, in every age, in every country, whether man or woman, boy or girl, black or white, straight or LGBTQ, rich or poor, people have been affected through the preaching, the powerful preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sinner, the reason we keep preaching the gospel, the reason why we can't give ground, the reason why there's a point in preaching the gospel, is because God works when the gospel's preached. God moves when the gospel's preached. Jeremiah 23 verse 29 says, "Is not my word like a fire, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God." That word dynamite again. It's explosive. I think of Manasseh in the Old Testament, one of the most ungodly kings that Judah ever had. And this man, he spilled much innocent blood. It says in Scripture, he spilled blood from one end of Jerusalem to the other. A wicked man, a wretched man. And yet this man who had spilled much innocent blood, a murderer, a man who'd committed genocide, this man in his latter years turned from his wicked ways. And he took Christ to be his Savior. He heard the gospel. He heard the good news and he trusted in it with his everything. And my friend, all of his sins, which believe me were many, were put under the cleansing stream of Calvary. I think of the Apostle Paul. There he went from church to church, healing men and women, throwing them into jail, casting in his vote to have them slain and put to death. And yet the gospel changed Paul's life in a powerful way. And the persecutor became the preacher, the pioneer upon the mission field. I think of John Newton in church history. You'll know John Newton was a slave trader. He sold men and women into slavery. And yet that coarse, foul-mouthed sailor, that slave trader, would later go on to write, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Oh friend, grace, the gospel, had changed him in a powerful way. You know, a few years ago, I was in church. I wasn't ordained. I was in Hebron Church. And there was a young man sitting just across the way. And this young man, he'd been foremost in the work of God. He had led meetings. He had preached, I think, on occasion. He had testified, certainly, of the Lord's help and the Lord's salvation in his life. He took kids' meetings. He'd helped out at the youth fellowship. He went to the prayer meeting. And I remember one night after the gospel was preached, and it was a normal gospel service, no bells and whistles, nothing different about the preaching of the gospel. And yet that man who had been living the way a Christian should live came over to me and he said, "Josh, I'm not saved. In fact, I've never been saved." And here was a young man who thought he was saved, who thought he walked with God, who thought he had a testimony of the Lord's saving grace, but he discovered that night when the gospel hit in that powerful, life-changing way, "Do you know what? I'm not saved." And that's why we keep on preaching the gospel. Because we know not what the Lord's going to do through the preaching of the gospel, but evidently God works through the preaching of the gospel. And so why would we stop preaching just because everyone seems to be believers? We know not who's living a false profession. We know not perhaps who's backslidden. We know not what God will do with his word. And so we make no apology for preaching the gospel. Yes, we might not see folks coming in their droves and this place teeming and pouring out with the unsaved from the local area. We might not see that. But we need to remind ourselves of the power intrinsic to the message we preach. Because there, connected to the gospel, there is the power of God. My friend, has the gospel changed your life? Has Christ changed you? Has God ever worked in your heart in that powerful way and brought you unto himself to salvation? Oh, yield to the immensity of the power of God tonight. Give yourself into the arms of a loving Savior who died to set you free. What's the point in preaching the gospel? Because we're not ashamed of it. Because we can't preach Christ without it. Because it is the power of God. And lastly, I want you to notice the reason why we keep on preaching the gospel is because it is unto salvation. Look at what we read here. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, Paul asks in chapter 10, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. You trace that backwards. We begin with the gospel. The preacher is sent from God to go out and preach that gospel. People hear that gospel. And people get saved through the preaching of the gospel. That's the order God has willed and God has planned in this world. The gospel isn't just a thing we preach. It's not just a simple ABC message that we give on a Sunday night. The gospel is a saving word from God. He didn't have to give us Christ. He didn't owe us Christ. Christ wasn't obliged to do anything for us. He didn't have to give us the gospel. But he did all of these things out of sheer grace and of sheer love for the hearts of men. He's given us the gospel that we may realize where our sin is bringing us, what our sin is doing to us, what our Savior has done for us, and what we must do to enjoy a right relationship with God forevermore. Friends, the gospel of Christ is God's saving lifeline to you. If you saw somebody fall off the side of a ship, you'd throw them out the lifeline. You'd cast out your hand, grab onto me. My friend, that's what the gospel is for you. It's God's lifeline. It's God's lifeline. Tonight, God has thrown you the lifeline. You've heard of the Christ that has died to set you free. And that's why we can't stop preaching it. We love the souls of men too much to hide away from them what Christ has done for them. You might be sitting here hearing about the gospel and you wonder to yourself, well, can I be saved? What about me? Am I one of the ones who Christ can save? Notice what Paul says in verse 16. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And my friend, whether Jew or Gentile, whether man or woman, whether adult or child, you can be saved when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Whosoever shall call, that word whosoever means anybody, anybody who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him that cometh to God must believe that he is. My friend, do you believe in Jesus Christ tonight? Have you faith in what Christ has done for you? Have you faith in him? Will you rest your all upon the merits of Christ? Do you believe you're a sinner? Do you believe that you're bound for hell? Do you believe that Jesus was sent of God to die for the sins of his people? Do you believe that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to wash your sin away? My friend, do you believe it? Well, believe it and trust it and call out for his saving mercy tonight. Confess to him your sin. Take him as your redeemer. Because my loving, saving, keeping God will accept you. He'll wash you. He'll change you in a powerful way. And he'll turn you away from your sin. My friend, repent. Turn away from sin and believe the gospel. Paul says in chapter 10, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, tonight, you've heard the point in preaching the gospel. You've heard why we can't stop preaching the gospel, and why you as a church need to look for a man who's willing to preach the gospel. But my friend, tonight, what do you know of the gospel of Christ? Will you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Will you believe and have faith in the Son of God who loved you and died for you? Will you leave this place assured of heaven tonight? Oh, come, while the door of mercy is open to you, and be ye saved. My friend, if you want to speak to me after the meeting, I'll be at the door. I'll be outside. You can have a chat with me. We'll not make a public example of you or a public scene of you. But if you're here and you know in your heart, I'm outside of Jesus Christ, I need to take Christ as my Savior, I want to be saved from sin, come, speak to me, please. We can't save you, but we'll be glad to point you to the one who can. Because praise God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his blood can still wash your heart from sin tonight. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless this word.